Good morning. Welcome to B'nai Yeshurun's Base Medrash program. I'm learning Rav Sacks Sunday morning. This morning's shiur is on Yonei Pesach, and the shiur is sponsored by the Levy family in memory of Lillian Levy Old Shalom, the covered gutter Rav Sacks.
The opening Mishnah, Masachas Pesachim, discusses the obligation of Bedikas Chametz, and one finds several different possibilities in the Rishonim why exactly Bedika is necessary. After all, the Gemara does write a little bit later on Daf Daldam Abeis, but Midaraisa Bitzel Ba'al Masagi, if a person is simply interested in avoiding Ba'al Yiron Ba'imatze, so in such a case he can engage in Bitzel and declare that the Chametz that he have is considered to be insignificant or Hefker, and he will not violate Ba'al Yiron Ba'imatze. So why is it that an additional Bedika is needed? Solsus points out in Sachim Daf Beis that the concern is Shema Yavlidei Achila. The true, you're Mevato the Chametz, you're not going to violate Bayram by Matzeh, but nonetheless, Lo Bedila Inishminei, that a person is accustomed to eating Chametz throughout the year, and therefore, Bittel is insufficient, the person will chance upon the Chametz, he will possibly eat it, thereby violating an Isser of Kares, and therefore, Midrabanan, Bedik is considered to be necessary. If you look in the Ran, the very first page, Aleph and Aleph and Dap Harif, the Ran points out as follows: if a person would rely on Bittel alone, we're concerned that a person will not be Mevato Lechametz Belev Sholem. He will not do so earnestly, will not do so sincerely. Maybe he'll go through the motion of being Mevato Lechametz, but in truth, he does not desire to go ahead and to part with the Chametz, and therefore the Torah insists on a form of Bedika as well. And a third possibility, if you look in the Rimi Lunil on that daf in Sochim, he argues as follows, that maybe initially a person will sincerely be Mevato Lechametz. However, a person during the course of Pesach will come across a piece of Chametz that he desires, he'll have a change in mind, he'll retract the Shema Yimalech Achar Bitulo, retract from the initial Bitul, and now he will violate Bayira and Bayimatzi. And as such, three possibilities in the Rishonim why even though a person engages in Bitul, that is necessary, but it's insufficient, it is still needed that a person engage in Bedikas Chametz as well. So as mentioned, the first view, Tosus explains that we engage in Bedika because of a concern of Shema Yavol Yidei Achila, a person may end up eating the Chametz. When you look in the Ran, on Aleph and Aleph and Dapi Harif, the Ran cites this view of Tosus, that Bedika is a siyag, it's a gzeirah drabanan atu achila. But then the Ran adds one line that you don't find in Tosus. See, Tosus is explaining why it is that Bedika is necessary. Bedika is only drabanan. So I understand one could argue that the Chachamim insisted on Bedika because of Shem Yavlidei Achila. Not so unusual for the Chachamim to forbid something midrabanan because it can lead to that which is forbidden in HaTorah. But the Ran adds the following line that perhaps it's for this very reason that the Torah forbids ownership of Chametz, Ba'ira and Ba'imatzeh. In other words, then why is it that the Torah tells us you can't even possess Chametz? The Ran writes that that is a siyag, shamiyav lidei achila. You're accustomed to eating Chametz all year long, and therefore if you possess Chametz, you may come to eat the Chametz. This no doubt is a great chiddush, because when we're dealing with Bedika, as mentioned, Bedika is only Derabanan. But the prohibitions of ownership of Chametz, of Bayram by Matzeh, that is considered to be forbidden min HaTorah. And yet the Ran writes that what is driving the Isurim of Bayram by Matzeh is a Siyag, a Gzeira Atu Achila. In other words, that the concept of Gzeira is not merely Midrabanan. We know that everything that the Chachamim do, Makoma David Rabbanan, is in the Raisa Tikkun. It's patterned after models that you find min HaTorah. And therefore, the Chachamim, of course, are in charge to make a Siyog LaTorah, as the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Maseches Avos. But you know, the Torah itself creates a Siyog as well. Sometimes the Torah can create that which is forbidden in HaTorah, but it is precautionary because of a concern that it could lead to violating a further, a more significant prohibition min hatara. And therefore the Ran points out the interesting chiddush that Bayram by Matzi is an example of a siyag daraisa, where the Torah itself forbids A because it will lead to B. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a magnificent sefer, Lekach Tov, Simen Ches, where he lists 15 cases of a siyag daraisa, where the Torah itself will forbid something because of the concern of Shema Yavo. And this is what the Ran points out is what is driving the Isser of Bayira and Bayimatsi. In other words, that Bayira Bayimatsi is not unrelated to the Isser Achiva, but rather it is driven by the concern that you may come to eat. You know, if you look in the Rambam, the very beginning of Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, it seems that this is the case as well. Because the Rambam writes that if a person possesses Chametz on Pesach, he will violate two Isurei Daraisa, Bayira, Bayimatze, and then the Rambam adds the phrase, Afopi Shlo Achla. Even if it ends up that you don't eat the Chametz. I ask you, isn't that so obvious? Of course. Violating Bayira, Bayimatze is not dependent on eating, it's dependent on the ownership. Why does the Rambam have to emphasize that Afopi Shlo Achla? And perhaps one could argue that the Rambam is exactly assuming as the view of the Ran, because, you know, in principle, what is driving the Isur Mebayram by Matzei is a Siyag Atu Achila, and as such, that's what the Rambam needs to emphasize. It doesn't mean that you only violate Bayram Matzei if you end up eating. No, it is true that there is an Isser, but correct, there is clearly a link, according to the Rambam's view, between Bayram Matzei and the Isser Achila itself. Perhaps one could suggest that this is the basis of a further comment that the Rambam has. When you look in the Mishnah later on, Sachim and Daf Membeis, there the Mishnah discusses chametz in combination, taruvos chametz. And you find several possibilities in the Rishonim whether one violates Bayram by Matzei for taruvos chametz. Rashi writes, absolutely yes. Rashi Shita is that not only chametz be'en, but even chametz in combination will cause one to violate by Rabbi Matzei. And Tosus quotes the view of Rabbi Yotam that disagrees and maintains that it is not true that by Rabbi Matzei is limited to taruvos chametz. And if you look in the Rambam, Hachos Chametz Amatza, Perek Dalet Halachaches, the Rambam maintains as well that you could violate by Rabbi Matzei even for Teruvos Chametz. So the Mishnah Melech raises the following suffix. Then when is it that we assume that this is true? That for Chametz, B'Teruvos, a person will violate by Rabbi Matzei. Sometimes, always. So the Magid Mishnah suggests the following distinction. If a person has Teruvos Chametz, where the chametz is so intense that there is a kazayis of chametz that can be consumed betol kedei achilas pras. In other words, that if you'll eat that combination, but in a matter of minutes, you could consume an entire kazayis of chametz. As such, then and only then will there be an isser of Bayram by Matzei. But let's assume, for example, the chametz is relatively minimal to the point that you could not possibly consume a kazayis of chametz tol kedei achilas pras. Let's assume, for example, that it's a piece of chocolate where there is sprinkled in it an amount of chametz, but to consume a kazayis of chametz, that would take, right, a half hour of eating the chocolate straight. In such a case, then Magid Mishnah writes, even though you possess the kazayis of chametz, because you own significant numbers of this chocolate, but nonetheless, you wouldn't violate Bayram by Matzei. In other words, according to Magid Mishnah, you will only violate Bayram by Matzei for Teruvos Chametz when there is a possibility that you could consume it the Tov Kedei Achilas Pras, the shear of Achila. That, he suggests, is the view of the Rambam. That fits in very well with exactly that possibility that Bayram by Matzei is related to the Isser Achila, and therefore if it can't even practically result in the Isser Achila, so then there would be no violation min haTorah of Bayira and Bayimatzei, further confirming the Rambam's view, similar to the Ran, the link between Bayira and Bayimatzei and Isser Achila, and that perhaps underscores that line in the Rambam of Afalpi Shlo Achlo, Afalpi Shlo Achlo. Reb Chaim Ozer the Achiezer writes that there is a further issue that you find in the Rambam and the Ravid really as follows. The Rambam and the Ravid argue that, you know what, let's assume, for example, you have chametz that is nifsal. It's nifsal me'achila. Do we assume that one will nonetheless violate by Rabbi Matzeh? The Ravid says that, generally speaking, absolutely is. Even if it is absolutely nifsal, there is still an issur of Bayira and Bayi Matzeh. And the Rambam disagrees and argues that, generally speaking, if it's something which is not fit to be eaten, fit to be Raya L'Achila, in such a case, you will not violate Bayira and Bayi Matzeh. Reb Chaim Ozer points out this also is linked. If it's an independent issur, so whether it is fit for human consumption or not may not necessarily be relevant to whether you violate Bayira Bayi Matzeh. That is the view of the Ravid, but according to the Rambam, if Bayira Bayi Matzeh is precautionary, that you may come to eat, so therefore, the fact that it is something that is fully edible is considered to be critical, not only for this achila, but even for Bayira and Bayi Matzeh itself. So therefore, these Rambams align, where the Rambam maintains that these are not completely independent isurim, but yet Bayira Bayi Matzeh is driven by this achila. We had mentioned, when it comes to Tarubos Chametz, Chametz in combination, Rabbi Natam, Satim Daf Mem Beis, maintains that unless it's Chametz Gamur, if it's only Chametz B'Tarubos, you will not violate Bayira Bayi Matzeh. Why exactly is that true? Why does Rabbi Natam limit it to Chametz Gamur? Maybe one could argue Rabbi Natam also subscribes to this view with one condition. Rabbi Natan maintains, yes, that there's a link between Bayira and Bayi Matzeh, and the Isser Achila. You will only violate Bayira and Bayi Matzeh when it results in an Isser Achila. Well, isn't there an Isser Achila when it comes to Terubos Chametz as well? One caveat. According to Rabbi Natan, you will only violate the Isser of Bayira and Bayi Matzeh when there's an Isser Achila Shieshvo Kares. Kares. After all, Bayira and Bayi Matzeh are lavim in HaTorah. When did the Torah formulate these additional prohibitions of a concern that not just simply Shema Yavli De Achila, but Shema Yavli De Achila Sheyesh Bo Kares? And that, Rabbi Natan maintains, is only the case when it comes to absolute chametz, not when it comes to Taruvos chametz. So maybe that's the view of Rabbi Natan, that Bayira and Bayi Matzeh is only when it comes to chametz gamur, but not when it comes to Taruvos chametz. So various possibilities within the Ran, the Rambam, Rabbi Natan, the link between Bayira and Bayi Matzeh and Shema Yavli De Achila, with possible differences. Even lahalacha, something which is nifsal, or tarubos chametz, and the like. The Minchas Baruch in Simen Mem is bothered by the following difficulty. To argue that, you know, the Torah forbids Bayira Bayi Matzeh because it might lead to achila, and therefore the possibility that maybe if it won't lead to achila, either it's only tarubos chametz, or it's chametz which is but Taruvos, it's a combination, or Nitzel, then there wouldn't be an Isser of Bayira and Bayi Matzeh. Isn't all of this what we would call Darshinan Tarmidikra? Isn't this all under the heading of the reasons that Hashem gives us mitzvot? And don't we assume halacha is the view of Rabbi Yehuda? That lo darshinan taimedikra. You know, part of limud haTorah is certainly to be able to understand the significance of a mitzvah. But you know, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon argue a step further. Can one limit or expand the scope of the halacha based on the reason? Could you possibly argue that if the reason doesn't apply, the halacha doesn't apply? For example, that the Torah forbids Bayira Matzeh because it might result in an iser achila, and therefore maybe argue when it comes to chametz which is nifsal, or chametz which is b'taruvos, that there wouldn't be that possibility. Maybe this or then would not apply. Do you really have a right to go ahead and do that? The Minchas Baruch writes that certainly not, because we assume the halacha as the view of Rabbi Yehuda of lo darshinan taimedikra, and therefore the Minchas Baruch writes it's true. The Ran does write this. The Ran writes this black and white, Aleph, Menalef, and Dapi Arif, that the reason the Torah forbids Bayir Bayi Matzeh is because of Shami Avadei Achiva, but one should not take the statement as a halachic assertion, but rather simply Tami HaMitzvos. It's not so unusual. A person can read, for example, the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch will tell us why it is that Hashem commanded us to do A, B, and C. And imagine I'll get up and say, well, then the halacha only applies here, and it doesn't apply there. I'll tell you, ooh, Tami HaMitzvos. That's important for the enterprise of Talmud Torah, but not necessary for the functional halacha l'maisa. And therefore, Menachos Baruch points out, one has to be very careful to argue, as we did, that you can limit the scope of Bayram by Matzeh based on this line that you find in the Ran. After all, we assume that Lo Darshinan Taima Dekra. So how would one address, right, this objection of the Minchas Baruch? So perhaps one could argue as follows. That machlokes, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, Darshinan, Lo Darshinan Taima Dekra. When do we assume Darshinan Taima Dekra? When do we not assume Darshinan Taima Dekra? The source of that machlokes, a Mishnah, Baba Metzia, Kuf Tezvav. The Mishnah discusses something which is quite different, and that is Losach Bo Beger Amana. We've discussed this case in earlier Shiurim. Right? You have, right, the woman who is widowed. Now she is coming to you in need for a loan, and you are going to demand a collateral. Fine, right? I will grant you the loan, but I insist on a collateral. So the Torah tells us that is something which is inappropriate. Losach bo beger amana, that you shouldn't simply take the clothing of an amana, right, as surety, as confirmation, as a mashkon for the halva. So the Mishnah tells us in Bava Metzia Kuf Tezvav that Amana Bein Shehi Aniya Bein Shehi Ashira Ein Memashkinin Osa. That this applies categorically, regardless of the financial status of this woman. This woman could be impoverished, but maybe this woman, right, is exceedingly wealthy. Her husband had died, and now the estate is a fantastic estate, and she is coming to borrow, to wheel and deal in order to, right, flip property and so on. Is it really true that Losach bo beger amana? The Mishnah says, absolutely yes. This is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Pasuk says no, and the answer is no. Losach bo beger amana. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. This is Rabbi Shimon's Darshinan Taima Dekra. Why is it that the Torah writes Losach bo beger amana? Isn't it because, why do you think the woman, generally speaking, is coming to you? Not to invest. Generally speaking, she's coming to you because she has no source of income, and therefore she is in dire need. And that is when we assume Losach bo beger amana, but it's limited to an amana ani. It doesn't apply to an amana who is in Ashira. So, fantastic Chiddush Rabbi Shimon. One could limit the scope of the halacha based on its reason. The reason is because of her dire financial strait, and as such, it only applies to Amana Aniya, doesn't apply to an Amana Ashir. So the Gemara raises the following issue. Rabbi Yehuda Shita, no, Amana Ben Shianiya, Ben Shiashira, in Nashkirinosa, I will pose the following contradiction. No? Rabbi Yehuda tells us the following. The Torah tells us when it comes to a Melech that Lo Yar Belo Nashim. That a melech is not allowed to have an excessive number of wives. Why? The pasuk tells us, "Lo yar b'noshim, lo yafsel b'avo," in order that they don't turn his heart away from the Torah Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda maintains, "Isa, a melech can have many, many wives, u'bilvad shelo yehi mesiros esliba, as long as he makes sure that that end does not occur." So for the caliber of women who will not, they will intensify his avas haTorah, his yirah shamayim, then there is no prohibition. So isn't that the Gemara writes, Darshinan Taima Dekra? If the reason doesn't apply, then the halacha doesn't apply. How do you resolve that contradiction within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara points to an obvious difference, and that is, when it comes to the case of a melech, the Torah tells us the reason. The Torah tells us black and white in the Pasuk the reason. The Tam is Mufurish Bekra. When it comes to the case of Losach bo beger amana, there, the Torah does not mention the reason at all. And that's a fundamental distinction of Rabbi Yehuda. If the reason is built in, because the reason is part of the Tzivui, so as such, then I also will argue that one could limit or expand the scope of the halacha based on the reason. If, however, this is not the case, if the reason is not mentioned, we have no right to assume, well, this is the reason, and on that basis we can limit the scope of the halacha. That's the distinction of Rabbi Yehuda. That's quite important. That has ramifications in many other areas of halacha as well. If the reason is mefurish b'kra, then we assume that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even the halacha darshinan time of b'kra. We once discussed in earlier shiurim the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah, k'siva sefer Torah. The Rosh Simen Aleph, the Hilchos Sefer Torah, is quite bothered. Why is it that in our times we don't find that people are regularly writing sefer Torah? Isn't that the last of the Tariq mitzvahs? Kisvalachem es Hashira Hazos. And the Rosh already writes, in his time, this was not a mitzvah that was generally fulfilled. So this is something the Rishonim and Achram debate at length, the status of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Rosh writes as follows, that look, the purpose, what is driving the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, is to facilitate Limud HaTorah, to have an abundance of svarim in order to be able to learn from those Sifrei Kodesh. And therefore the Rosh writes that in his time, people were not writing from, learning from the Sefer Torah itself, but rather other texts, other svarim, and therefore the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah can be fulfilled in that fashion. It doesn't require literary writing a Sefer Torah. What right does the Rosh have to argue, well, the mitzvah is because of this, and therefore the focus has shifted? The Rosh is assuming very simply, this is not a case of Darshin and Tam and Dekra, a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, because the Tam is Mefurish b'kra. The pasuk says Kisvulachem es Hashira Hazos and V'lamedas Bnei Yisrael Sima b'fiim. The pasuk emphasizes right in order to learn, and it's on that basis that the Rosh can argue. Even Rabbi Yehuda agree that Darshinan time is a crumb. We know that the Torah, for example, formulates an Isra of Havonas Ameis, the Kavar Sikreno B'yom Ha'u, one is obligated to bury on that very same day. And yet the Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, Helinu Lichvodo, that a person at times could delay burial, Mishum Kavod Ha'meis. How can Kavod Ha'meis override the mitzvah, the chiyuv, to bury immediately? What right do you have to do that? The simple understanding again is that the pasuk says, what is wrong with delaying burial? Ki kilos Elohim t'aloi. It is considered to be degrading for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzelem Elohim. It's degrading for the Niftar, and therefore, Mishum Kavod HaMeis. So the Mishnah picks up. If what is driving this isn't is Kavod HaMeis, Bizui HaMeis, in such a case you understand very well that if one is delaying Mishum Kavod HaMeis, in such a case, that is considered to be that which is significant. We discussed this earlier, that the Tur, Tafresh Chafei, devotes an entire simen to the significance of the mitzvah asukah. And that's a little bit unusual, no? We understand the significance of mitzvahs is pretty important, but you know, you don't usually find this in Shulchan Aruch proper. An entire siman in Shulchan Aruch, an entire siman in the Torah, devoted to the meaning of the mitzvah of Sukkot. So the Bach points out that don't be so surprised, because after all, the Torah tells us that Sukkot teishu shivas yamim. Why? Leman yedu doroseichem. The Torah tells us in order that you should realize. In other words, the significance of the mitzvah is built into the very fabric of the mitzvah, because the tam is mefurish b'kra, and therefore it's essential to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah properly. The Bach writes in Tafresh Chafei, to be able to fulfill the mitzvah min hamuvchar in the ideal sense. The Or Lachaneh writes in Bikur Yaakov in that siman Tafresh Chafei, it's ma'akev even b'dieved. You will not fulfill the mitzvah at all if you don't realize the significance. Because if the Torah says, do this in order to realize, that mindset, that awareness is considered to be absolutely vital, because the tam is mefurish b'kra. And the Bach points out interestingly that if you look in the Mechaber, you find this in a few places. You find this in Simen Ches, when it comes to tzitzis, the significance of tzitzis. You find this in Simen Chafei, the significance of tefillin. And you find this in Tafresh Chafe, the significance of Sukkah. And what do these cases have in common? Tzitzis, Tefillin, Sukkah, the Bach writes, because in all of these cases, the Torah mentions the purpose of the mitzvah. You're obligated to don tzitzis, l'ma'an tizkeru. So the Machaber stresses, when you're wearing the tzitzis, be mindful of the mitzvah Hashem. The Torah tells us in the very end of Parshas Bo, you're obligated to lay tefillin. Why? L'ma'an tia Torah Hashem b'ficha. The Torah should always be with you. And a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. So if the Torah tells us wear the tefillin in order to, that awareness is considered to be pretty critical. The same thing when it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah as well. So when the tam is mefurish bekra, that's considered to be vital. That's something that is critical. You know, the same thing is true when it comes to dinin derabanan. Albeit when it comes to dinin derabanan, sometimes it's harder. It's harder to know. Sometimes, if I ask you, why did the Chachamim institute a certain gzeirah d'rabbanan, that simply is a question of motivation. What motivated the Chachamim to do so? But we don't necessarily assume that the reason is built into the very enactment, the very fabric of the gzeirah d'rabbanan. And sometimes we'll assume maybe that's not true. Just as sometimes min haTorah, the tam, is part of it's mefurish b'kra, sometimes that's also true on a level of derabanan. That the reason is not simply that which motivated the chachamim, but the reason is considered to be a critical part of the gzeira or the takana. And that is what Tosus addresses in Beit Sandafe, a theme for a separate shir. When do you assume midrabanan, batal tam, batal takana? When do you assume that even if batal tam, low batal takana? When do you assume a din derabanan is a low plug? And whether the reason is relevant is really not significant, or when do you assume, no, that's not true, that the reason is considered to be that which is paramount, right? This is our issue, min haTorah. If the reason doesn't apply, do we assume that the halacha applies? It's relevant to mitzvahs min haTorah, it's relevant to dinim derabanan. When it comes to mitzvahs min haTorah, that Gemara Bava Metzi and of Kuf Tes Vav gives us a very good indicator. See if the reason is explicit. If the reason is explicit, then even Rav Yehuda admits that darshinan time edikra. So getting back to our case, closer to home, by Rabbi Matzei, is the tam mefurish bracha when the Ran writes this chiddush. What is driving this Rabbi Matzei is a siyag atu achiva, concern that you may come to eat the chametz. So one possibility is to argue, you know what? It's absolutely mefurish bracha. It's explicit. That's what the Sam Sofer points out in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler. This is in the Chiddushik Sam Sofer and Shachar Nabez Amid Aleph. This is what the Barbanel writes in Parshas Bo. The Torah tells us that Shivas Yomim Sa'or Lo Yimatze Bevateichem. There's an Isra possession of Chometz. Sa'or Lo Yimatze Bevateichem. Read on. Ki Kol Ochel Machmetzes V'Nichrasa. That's what the pasuk continues. What does that mean? Ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrasa. So Barbanel writes, that is the nesinas tam. Why is it that one cannot possess chametz? The answer is, ki kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrasa. Because of the iser achila. And if that is true, perhaps the very pasuk links these cases, in which instance this is a further example where the tam is mefurish b'kra. In which case, maybe one could argue, then yes, if the chametz is only taruvos, Rabbi Natan writes, there is no v'nichrasa, or the chametz is nifsa, maybe then there would not be, right, an isser of v'ayira and v'ayimatzai. I'll go with separately. If you look in the Tosfos HaRash, this Tosfos HaRash is found elsewhere, Bava Metzia, that's right. The Tosfos HaRash writes a further very great chiddush. If the tam is mefurish b'kra, then we assume darshinan tam edikra. And what happens if the reason is not explicit? Then generally not. Generally not. Tosfos HaRash writes the following. The Torah tells us that lo saksam shor b'disha. When an animal is plowing for you, you have to allow the animal free rein to be able to graze. No, if you're going to muzzle the animal, that's inappropriate. That's the issa d'oraisa of chasima, muzzling. Losafsom
Shor B'disha. That is such an important lav because it's in close proximity to that lav of Chasima that the Torah writes that Arbom Yakenu, the Isra of Malchus. And the Gemara derives from that the formula that any lav which is Dumya de Chasima, Lo Kenala, that's the source of the Chiyuv of Malchus. If I were to ask you, how do you know your Chayiv Misa for a particular Avera, the answer is the Torah must tell us so, right? Not a rule. The Torah must tell us so in each, every individual lav. How do I know that I'm chayiv malchus for lavim? The Torah doesn't have to tell us so in every specific lav, but rather a formula, right? And that is dumi de lav de chasima losafsam shor b'disha. So I'm not allowed to go ahead and to muzzle an animal and have that animal work for me. That's unfair. You know that. The Ravid writes that that's the whole source of Tzar Balei Chaim. The Gemara Bava Metzi and Daf Lamed Beis that writes Tzar Balei Chaim is the rice, so that's based on this whole parsha. What's wrong with muzzling an animal? Right? It's unfair. It's a form of abuse, causing anguish to an animal, and that also is considered to be a priority of Tzar Balei Chaim. It doesn't mean, as we discussed in earlier shiurim, that if a person mistreats an animal, he violates the lava of Losasim Shor B'disha. But it does mean that you glean from that the Isra of Losachsam Shor B'disha indicates. And what is that called? Indicates? The Gemara says that's called Daraisa. Chiddush, no? But Metzi Lamedeis, the Gemara says Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa. No? In other words, that when you glean from a model, that indicator can be that which is forbidden min HaTorah. The Tosfos Rosh writes based on the Mabba Metzi and Daf Tzadi, the following Chiddush. Let's assume, for example, that the animal is plowing. And the animal is plowing a type of crop that I know is detrimental to the animal. The animal is going to eat. The animal will become very ill. No? The animal might die as a result of it. So I'm going to argue, no, the Torah tells Lo Safsam Shor B'disha. I'm not allowed to muzzle the animal, so therefore, look, let the chips fall, let the animal plow, eat, and become very, very ill. So in such a case, the Tosfos Rosh writes, based on the Gemara, the Rambam even passes this way as well, that what do you mean there? One must engage in chasima. After all, if the Torah is concerned with that which is beneficial for the animal, you have to concern yourself with the animal's well-being. So generally speaking, it's beneficial to allow the animal free rein. But if you know that's not the case, if you know the animal will eat and become ill, so therefore the halacha mandates that you absolutely muzzle the animal and provide the animal with other food. What do you mean? The Torah says no. Losatzim Shor B'disha. What right do I have to declare that here that Isser would not apply? And maybe you'll tell me that there are cases where the Tam is Mefurish B'kra, but you know, when it comes to Losachsam Shor B'disha, the Pasuk doesn't continue and tell us why. It doesn't tell us, don't do this because you have to be concerned with the well-being of animals, and that which is detrimental is something that one cannot, it doesn't say anything at all. No? So what right do you have to go in to say, well, so Tosfos Rosh writes, you're right, it's not Mefurish B'kra, but it is obvious. Well, obvious. No? It doesn't have to be Mefurish B'kra. No? And if it's obvious, then also we assume Darshin and Tana Zekra. That's Atosus Harash. She took a betas bo mezia daf tzadi. No? If it's in the Pasuk black and white, then it's obvious. But sometimes the Pasuk doesn't have to spell it out. And that also is a case that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Darshin and Tamid Akra. Why in the world do you think the Torah tells us that don't unfairly muzzle animal? Isn't it clear because of an element of Tzar Balei Chaim? And therefore, if Tzar Balei Chaim would dictate the opposite, we would not say, nonetheless, you're obligated to go ahead and to do so. So in that particular case, you see that it doesn't have to be explicit, it could be obvious. So here I would suggest that one of those two possibilities, that what is it? The basis of the Ram Shita to argue that there's a link between Bayram by Matze and Achila, one possibility is perhaps it is explicit in the Pasuk. Because read that Pasuk, he called Ochel Machmetzes Nichrusa as A, Nesinas Tam, A is forbidden because of B. But even if you read the Pasuk as two separate halves, not necessarily as
a reason. You know, when the reason, the pasuk says leman, leman tizkur, leman yedid arasechem. No, here the pasuk doesn't say leman, just ki ochel chametz, ko ochel matzes. Here one could argue, isn't it obvious? Why all of a sudden here does the Torah have an issur of bayram baymatzes? The Torah doesn't have an issur of baymatzes when it comes to machalos usuros generally. So why here is there an issur? You think it's not related to the fact that there's an issur achila, and if you eat it, there is an issur kares, and therefore the Torah forbids bayram baymatzes? Perhaps that is also the reasoning that is driving the run. I would go a step further and argue as follows, that this issue is clearly related to a machlokis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The opening Mishnah Maseches Beitza describes machlokis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. What is the shear of chametz? Is it a kazayis, or is it somewhat larger? Is it a koseres? And this is one of the unusual cases. That's why it's placed in the Mishnah, Beis Adav Beis Amud Aleph, where Beis Hillel is machmer, that the shear is a smaller one, a kazayis, and according to Beis Shammai, the shear is a larger one. The Gemara explains, later, Beis Zayin Amud Beis, what is machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai? How much chametz do you have to eat in order to be chayav kares? No. When it comes to eating, what? Beis Shammai maintains the shear is a koseres. The word achila always means a kazayis. Achila always is kazayis. If the Torah doesn't use the term achila, then we can discuss what exactly is the necessary shear. But if the Torah uses the term achila, achila is always the kazayis. Now, isn't that something that is clear? So Beis Hillel is 100% correct that achilas chametz is the kazayis. How can the Shammai disagree? That's what the Gemara writes. No. But that machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai is not about achila. Everyone agrees achila is the kazayis. The machlokes is bayram baymatzeh. How much chametz do you have to possess in order to violate the isra of bayram baymatzeh? Beis Hillel maintains a kazayis, and Beis Shammai maintains a koseres. I would suggest as follows. You see, according to Beis Shammai, that we don't assume that what is driving the Isra of Bayram Banasi is a siyag to achila, because the shear of achila is relatively small, and the shear of Bayram Banasi is relatively large. In other words, you can possess a kazayis achametz, and if you eat it, you're chayiv kares, but you're not going to violate the prohibitions of Bayram Baymatzeh. So you see that Bayram Baymatzeh, according to Beis Shammai, is an independent issur, and therefore one could question, what is a shear? And one would not be so surprised to argue that, well, look, since the Torah doesn't use the term achila, the shear is a larger one. Let's say Yom Kippur is an example. You can't eat on Yom Kippur, but the Torah doesn't use the term achila. The Torah just describes v'nisim es nafsho seichem, you have to inflict yourself, the kol ha-shelo su'une betzom yom hazeh. The Torah never uses the term achila. And guess what? That's why the shir of achil yom kippur is not a kazayis. Because kazayis is linked with achil. The shir is a koseves. What Beis Shammai says is a shir for bayram baymatzeh. If you don't find the term achila, then the shir is not a kazayis. So according to the view of Beis Shammai, you can possess more than a kazayis sechametz without violating bayram baymatzeh, even if you eat your b'chayiv kares. Clearly these yisurim are independent. Now the Gemara writes, what about according to Beis Hillel? After all, there's no term achila. How do you know that the shir is a kazayis? The Gemara just answers, yalfinan biur miachila. Bayram baymatzeh is derived from achila. What exactly does that mean? Yalfusa, a drasha, or maybe it means exactly according to the Ran and the Rambam. What do you mean? What is driving the Isser of Bayram Baymatzeh is Shema Yavlidei Achila. And therefore, isn't it clear that even without using that term in the context of Bayram Baymatzeh, if Bayram Baymatzeh is a siyag to avoid Achila, the shir is going to be the shir of achila. And therefore, even without a drasha, even without the pasuk, that's exactly what Beis Hillel would maintain, that of course, the shir of Bayram Baymatzeh is one in the same as the shir of achila. And therefore, as we assume lahalacha, the shir of Bayi Rabbi Matzei is a kazayis, as the shir of Bayi Rabbi Matzei kazayis as the shir of achila is considered to be a kazayis as well. Well, that pashut pshat, the view of Beis Hillel. See, with this in mind, I'll address, right, another issue. My focus is Hillel Beis Shammai. What is the shir of Bayi Rabbi Matzei? What is the shir of Bayi Rabbi Matzei? So I ask you the following question. What is the shir of Bayi Rabbi Matzei? As far as what? Why is that relevant? Why is that relevant? See, if I were to ask you, what is the shir of Nevela? So in other words, how much Nevela do you have to eat in order to get Malkus? The answer is a kazayis. You eat a kazayis to Nevela, Malkus. Less than a kazayis, no Malkus. What is the shir of chametz to be chayiv kares? A kazayis. If you eat less than a kazayis, there's no kares. I understand. What about Bayi Rabbi Matzei? What is the shir of Bayi Rabbi Matzei in order to what? In order to receive the onesh of Malkus? There are two very good reasons that there's no Malkus when it comes to Bayi Rabbi Matzei. Right? One reason, which is one gear so that you find in the Gemara later in Sofman of Tzadihei, that Bayi Rabbi Matzei is called a lav hanitak le'esei. A lav hanitak le'esei. The Torah tells us, lo sigzo, don't steal, but if you do steal, v'heshiv esagzela, asher gozel. That's a lav hanitak le'esei. Where the Torah provides, right, the remedy, so to speak, that which is minnat, take the lav. And lav hanitak le'esei, ein lokin alav. So therefore, no malchus or Bayi Rabbi Matzei, because there's the esei of Tashvisu. And Bayi Rabbi Matzei, Allah benitek lasei, that's what Tosus writes in Sofim and Daf Yotes. That's again our Girsum. We have it in parentheses that there's no Malkus in Bayi Rabbi Matzei. As Allah benitek lasei, you look in the Rambam, the very beginning of the Chosfam Yitzimah, it's interesting. The Rambam does not write this reason. The Rambam writes that the reason you don't get Malkus in Bayi Rabbi Matzei is it's Allah she'im b'maisa. What did you do? Nothing. You sat back and you fail to rid your house of chametz. In such a case, the law of she'ein b'maisa ein lokin alav. So therefore, two very good reasons why there's no malchus for Bayi Rabbi Matzei. Lav hanitak le'esei and lav she'ein b'maisa. So if that's true, let's assume there's no malchus. No malchus. So what exactly is machlokus? Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, what is the shir? What is the shir of Bayi Rabbi Matzei? Is it a kazayis or is it a koseves? Relevant to what? The onesh? No onesh. No malchus. No malchus. I admit that this is not a question according to the Rambam, because the Rambam writes a great kiddush, and that is that sometimes it's possible to get malchus for Bayi Rabbi Matzei, because for some reason the Rambam ignored lav hanitak le'esei. Many different possibilities to explain this Rambam. Chaim Brisker, right, has a known piece. Why the Rambam failed to mention anything at all about lav hanitak le'esei? But the Rambam doesn't mention it. The Rambam only mentions lav she'ein b'maisa. So the Rambam seems, I guess, at first blush, only to be dealing with the exemption of ein b'maisa. And furthermore, the Rambam writes the following chiddush. If I ask you whether something is a lav sheyesh b'maisa or something is a lav she'ein b'maisa, how do you characterize? How do you categorize, right, that particular lav? Now, must it always be one or the other? Do I have to always classify it as yesh b'maisa, ein b'maisa? Or can I argue it depends? It depends. It depends on that which you do. No, the same love can at times be a love she'ish b'maisa, and at times a love she'ein b'maisa, just simply depending on what you did. For example, and this is the Rambam's example, if you sit back and you fail to rid your house of chametz, that's a love she'ein b'maisa. I was passive. But let's assume, for example, you bake challah on Pesach, or you acquire chametz on Pesach. Then the Rambam writes, now that is called a lav she'yesh b'maisa. The Rambam writes, the very same lav can be at times one, at times another. And therefore the Rambam writes that if a person bakes challah, or a person acquires chametz, he will get malchus for Bayi Rav and Bayi Matzei. Interesting. No? So in other words, according to the Rambam, right, my whole question doesn't begin.
because the Rambam does argue there is Malchus Rabbi Rambam, I'm not saying. And that's my focus. Bisulah Beshamai. Akazai Yisur, Eko Sevis. We don't Rov Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Rov Rishonim maintain that's not true. You never get Malchus for Bayar, I'm not saying. And one could argue that way for a couple of reasons. Number one, maybe a love that does not require a Maisa is never called a love Shiesh B'Maisa. Even if incidentally you happen to have been active, but the love doesn't require an act. And therefore, it is categorically referred to as a lav sheh ein bo maisa. This is what the Sefer HaChinuch writes repeatedly. Look, for example, Sefer HaChinuch in Shin Mem Dalet. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that a prohibition that does not require an act is called a lav sheh ein bo maisa, even if you did an action, incidentally, but it wasn't necessary. So therefore, if an act is not necessary, that's called a lav sheh ein bo maisa. The Ktzos from Siman Nun Beis discusses at length what exactly is the hagdara, the definition of lav sheh ein bo maisa, lav sheh esher maisa. Even if you agree with the Rambam that a lav sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes yeshko, sometimes ein bo, but what about the reason of lav anitek lasei? That should cover even the case of baking challah. That should cover the case of being konach hametzah Pesach. And therefore, Rov Rishonim maintain that there is never Malchus, never Malchus on Bayar Rabbi Matz. Look, there's never Malchus. So what in the world are Beis Fondei Shem arguing about? Is the Shir a Kazayis or is the Shir a Kosevis? So maybe one could argue as follows. You're right, they're not arguing about the Onish of Malchus, but they're arguing about very simply this. At what point do you violate the Isser? So good, there's no Malchus. So everything is dependent on Malchus. At what point do you violate the Isser? You know what the difficulty with that is? Shagasari points out, can a person eat a little bit of Nevela? Only take a couple bites. I'll fall short of a Kazayis. No, we assume as Rabbi Yochanan that Chatzi Shir is also Usser Min HaTorah. No? The smallest amount is Usser. The Shir is for Onesh. No? So kind of when you couple these two together, that number one, Chatzi Shir, anything less is still forbidden Min HaTorah. And anything more, there's no Malchus. So what in the world now is the Machlokas? Beisila Beis Shammai. In other words, possession of the smallest amount of Chametz presumably is Chatzi Shir. And possessing of an abundance of chametz will not generate an iser and onesh of malchus. So what is the machlokes? Just theoretically, in principle, whether the shir is a kazayis or whether the shir is a kosevis, how do you understand this? So interestingly, you know, Chedusha bin Adavid and Sof Davar even raises a suffix. Is there an iser of chatzi shir when it comes to Bayar Rabbi Manse? Is it so obvious that there is such an iser? In fact, the Shagasari proves from this machlokas, Beisila Beis Shammai, that there is no Isser Chatzi Shir. Because if you say there is an Isser Chatzi Shir, and there is no Malchus, kind of you've squeezed out the middle. You have no basis for a machlokas anymore. So if there is no Malchus, maybe there is no Isser Chatzi Shir. Why is that true? Why shouldn't there be an Isser Chatzi Shir when it comes to Bayirah and Bayimatzi? What could suggest many different possibilities as to why, in fact, this is the case. So the Prima Dadim and the Psicha Tokos Pesach suggests the following difference. This links to our Shir, and that is this. That, you know, what is it that is driving by this survivor on Baimatzeh? A Gzera. A Siyag Daraisa, Gzera Daraisa, Shama Yavli Dei Achim. What is driving the Isser of Chatzi Shir? If the Torah tells us, don't eat a kazayis of Nebeim, and if you do see it, get Malchus. Why do we assume that don't even eat the smallest amount? So the language of the Gemara in Yuma, the Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, is because Kevan to Chozi Listerufe Yisuru Korchil, because it is subject to combination. If you'll combine it with a little bit more, in such a case, then you'll end up violating this. And what exactly does that mean? The Prima Gadim writes that Chatzi Shir is only a Siyag. That's the second case of a Siyag Daraisa. Chatzi Shir is also because of Shema Yavli De Achila. You're going to stop there? you're only going to have a smallest amount that never crossed that threshold. You know, once you start eating, you may end up eating a kazayin. And Kev and the Chazi Serufei Isura Kafil. Rabbi Kaveh even goes as far as to argue that if there's no possibility of Tziruf, no possibility of combination, maybe there's no Isur of Chatzishir. Interesting. That's what Rabbi Kaveh suggests. Let's say a person goes ahead and makes a neder that he will not partake from this loaf of bread. So the Rabban writes, even the smallest amount is asr because chatzishir, chazit zerufei. Let's assume, for example, I destroy almost all of the loaf. And all that's left is a little bit, a chatzishir. There's no way in the world that you can ever violate the isr shua bikashir. It doesn't exist. It's an example. That there's no isr chatzishir. There's no possibility of siruf. Let's assume it's the very end of the day. There's a minute left to Pesach, a minute left to Yom Kippur. Time doesn't allow you to eat a full shir. Rabbi Kveger suggests that Chiddush also, Chuvas Noda B'Yuda, maybe there's no isr chatzishir in that particular case. Because what do you mean chazi serufin? Siruf at this point in time is no longer possible, no longer relevant. It's all based on the assumption what is driving this isr chatzishir is a siyum. Prima Gadim suggests a very interesting Chiddush. You know, the Gemara tells us that Chachamim have a right to make a gzeirat rabbanan, but the Chachamim, Rashi writes, do not have the right to make a gzeira le gzeira. Rashi points out that's an isser, right? Aim goes in gzeira le gzeira. Not just simply the Chacham didn't warrant it as necessary, but what do you mean? Right? Shouldn't this be called Baltosif? The answer is no, it's not Baltosif. The Torah insists, Ushmartim es mishmarti, that you make a siyog l'Torah. But Ushmartim es mishmarti, as Rashi points out, but below mishmeres l'mishmeres. You can't make a siyog l'siyog. We usually assume that's true drabanan, and goes from gzeira to gzeira. Maybe one could raise the following issue. Maybe this is even true when it comes to a din d'oraisa as well. That even if you have a siyog which is min ha-Torah, you don't find that the Torah has a siyog l'siyog. The Torah obviously will render certain things usher. The Torah can create a siyog, but do you ever have a siyog l'siyog, two precautionary stages? Maybe you never have that as well. And therefore, if Bayira and Bayimatsi is only an Isser Siyag, and Chatzishir is only an Isser Siyag, in such a case, Prima Gadim writes, you're not going to cull the two and argue that within Bayira and Bayimatsi there's an Isser of Chatzishir. But Chatzishir is Asr because it might result in a full Shir, and a full Shir is Asr because it might result in Achila. That's too far removed in order to go ahead and do have such a siyag, and in which case, maybe no iser chatzishir when it comes to bari rabbi matzin, hence the machlokas beisal beishamai, whether the iser begins with a kazayis, or whether it begins with a kosevis. The Prima Gadim writes this in a further case, where he writes this chiddush that the nazir is not allowed to drink wine, but also another is forbidden to consume mishras anavim, the sediment of grape. Why exactly is that true? The Medrash is explicit that mishras anavim, the sediment, that's only a siyag atu shtias yayin. We don't want the nazir to consume any part of the grape for fear that it could lead to shtias yayin. So the Prima Gadim writes this chiddush that maybe there's no isra of chatzishir regarding Mishras Anavim, because Mishras Anavim itself is only a siyag, and Chatzishir is only a siyag, and as such, you don't find the siyag, even if both are min ha-Torah. So perhaps this also highlights, right, our machlokes. To what extent do we view Bayim by Matzei as an independent Isser? To what extent do we argue that now this is considered as the Ran, the Rambam, Rabbi Natan, is Siyog Daraisa Atuachim? What a fascinating possibility. The concept of Siyog and Gzeira is not only true Midrabanan, but that which the Chachamim are empowered to do, to make a Siyog la Torah. This is because the models of the Torah itself, that sometimes the Torah creates a Siyog within Dinim Daraisa, And perhaps one classic example is that Chiddush of the Ran when it comes to this Rabbi Yeran by Yom Tzai.
Usually things a week also.